Good evening. I hope everybody had a pleasant and meaningful day, that it wasn't too difficult. The weather was nice in New York, at least. I don't know from where the other people are listening from. The Parsha is a very interesting one for various reasons. And it starts off, as I said, we had last week, we're introduced to HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, it's time now that we've finished the four Chumashim. We got through Bamidbar, and I am giving you license to talk to Klal Yisrael in the best way you know how. Whatever you think you have to say to them, it's a new generation. Perhaps you could get through to them. Their parents have made many mistakes, and since this is going to be literally the last month of your life, he didn't tell them exactly which day until the last day. He didn't tell them when he would depart this earth, but nevertheless, he told him time was running short. But Moshe begins, of course, last week, as we said, Eila hadvorim asher diber Moshe. It's always important to know who's speaking. But we get on after Moshe blames Klal Yisrael for his not going into Eretz Yisrael because of the chait of the hitting the rock, which they caused, excuse me, the chait of the meraglim. And then, of course, his second chance was used up by hitting the rock, which he blames on Klal Yisrael, and that continues in this week's parsha. And more than that, what Moshe begins this parsha, and it says, "V'eschanan el Hashem bo'eisahi le'mor." And Moshe is telling Klal Yisrael, in case you thought perhaps that I didn't ask God for a recount, so to speak, I didn't ask God, I didn't plead for my ability to go in. Moshe thought perhaps after everything would go, if he would pray continuously, just as so many times he prayed for the existence of Klal Yisrael, after every chait, he prayed for them that God should give them another chance, and he did. And Moshe hope against hope, that God will rescind the order for him not to live in Eretz Yisrael. But what we have to get perspective on the life of Moshe Rabbeinu, and what exactly we're talking about, what I said in addition to what I said last week. Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, was born under difficult circumstances, was thrown into the Nile, was placed in the Nile by his parents, grew up in the palace. And at the tender age of whatever it was, sometimes while he was a teenager, he goes out. Finally, they let him out of the palace. Vayarish Mitzri, Makeish Ivri, Me'achav. Vayifen kovacho vayarki inish vayaches hamitzri, and he sees this Mitzri hitting a fellow Jew, and he thought perhaps at this juncture in time, the Bnei Yisrael, if he would kill this Mitzri, Bnei Yisrael would sort of back him up and rise up in revolt and come to his aid. But of course, not only does nothing happen, but more than that, dasam vaviram sort of rat him out. They go, and Paro finds out that Moshe killed the Mitzri, and he now becomes persona grata and non grata, and he has to run away to Midian, where he could spend a good part of his life, and he doesn't know where this part of his life will take him. He's been living in Midian for so many years, and finally, at the age of 80, after he's married and has one child, God comes to him, or Aaron comes to him, and say, God would like to speak to you. And he encounters the burning bush, and God tells him that I need you at the tender age of 80 years old. I need you to be my shliach to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And Moshe is hardly convinced for a long time. God and Moshe are just talking to each other for a full week, Chazal tell us, that it took God a week to convince Moshe to finally accept the shlichus to be the emissary. And he does everything. For 1 year, he goes through the whole ordeal of the makos, Bnei Yisrael yelling at him, nothing is getting better, and all the makos, then the splitting of the Red Sea, then Matan Torah, and all the trials and tribulations that they go through after the Meraglim. And then finally, when we reach the 40th year, he has to deal with Vayihi Ha'om Kimisonanim, and then comes the death knell, the Meraglim. And God decrees at that point in time that even though up to this point Moshe has always been able to intercede for the, on their behalf to give them another chance, this time there is no chance. This time they've pushed God too far, and he delegates them to live the balance of their life in the Midbar. And we're not told anything. And we go the next 38 years without too much communication. They go, as we see in Maaseh, from one place to the next, even though in some places they live for many years. And they're traveling around, but Moshe is holding out hope at this point in time. He knows that God will take the Bnei Yisrael, whatever is left of them, the Sheres HaPleita, into the land of Israel, and he will lead them. And then the incident with hitting the rock. And suddenly, the roof falls in on Moshe, and God says to him, Lochein lo soviu es omazeh, yan lo emantem bi, lahagdi sheni, and God tells him three different times, you're not going in, you're not going to take them into the land, and Moshe is hoping against hope. The truth of the matter is, what we're saying at the beginning over here is that Moshe is saying, I had to pray for myself, lest you think that my ability to pray doesn't help. All these years, I was always interceding on your behalf. Did anyone ever come to pray to Hashem once the rock was hit? And now God told me that I will not lead you into the land. Did anybody ever step forward? Was there a day of Tillim now? We see in the land of Israel now, when we see our fellow brethren, too many have fallen in battle, and we come and we say we organize these Tillim, keep saying it every day after every davening and shul, and people are going through the ritual of going through in organizations and shul. They go through the entire Tillim on a daily basis. People pray for the rabbi. We say a Mishaberach in shul before Musaf, for the Kahal, for the Mishaberach, for the Rav, and various things of that nature. And Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, V'eschanana l'Hashem, V'eshahi le'mor. After the incident, and what one of the Mefarshim say very interestingly enough, that he understands the fact that one of the leaders, me or Aaron, would have to go down with the ship in the Midbar. I could not pray for myself until Aaron died. Once Aaron died, I was hoping that since he was buried in the Midbar, that maybe I could pray for my own, for God to rescind the order. But that was not to be. I prayed time and time again, but to no avail. And not only that, but God comes to me and says, that's it. Stop praying. You've said enough. And he tells them to, now it's time, but now you've used up the prayers and I don't want to hear from you anymore on this topic. The topic is closed. You're not going in. Could you imagine the frustration and the disappointment that's now passing through Moshe? He can't get any results from HaKadosh Baruch Hu after all he's done for the 3 million people, what he's done for them. And now he for himself can't accomplish anything. The thing that he's been fighting for all his life, he's lived these 120 years leading them, the last 40, sacrificing the life of his two sons and his wife. His family life has been a total disaster. And the life of the rest of his family, he's lost nephews. He's lost so many people of friends and family. And now he just wants the ability to be able to finalize his, live his final days in the land of Israel. And God will not let him go. He says, V'tzaves Yehoshua v'chaskeu v'yamseu ki hu yavar. Yehoshua will be the next leader, and he will bring them into the land. Unfortunately, you will not. All I will give you at this point in time, at least Aaron didn't have this, but if you will climb the mountain now from this vantage point, I will give you the ability to see the land. Of course, how much could you see? To actually see, if you get on top of the Empire State Building or the World Trade Center, you could see for many miles, But the reality is, how much do you really see? So what we're told is that God gave him, imbued him with a form of supervision, that he was actually able to see the land in great detail, the entire land of Eretz Yisrael, Hahor HaTov HaZev HaLevanon, to see the entire expanse of the land and to see the future of the people living there in peace and serenity. But he would have no part in it. Could you imagine the disappointment? And therefore, what God understands at this point in time, when God realizes and he says to Moshe, I understand your frustration, your disappointment, and what I'm giving you now is the opportunity to bare your soul and tell the people what's truly on your mind, whatever it is. And Moshe starts to tell them the thing that he blames them for, his not going in, even for Aaron's not going in, for all the things that they do. But what the lesson that we get out of this is more than that, that Moshe Rabbeinu is not being able to be their leader and to see the fruits of his labor for the last 40 years. But what was Moshe complaining about when he blamed them? Last week, I told you that Moshe blamed the fate of the Meraglim. He told them the sin of the Meraglim caused him not to go into the land of Eretz Yisrael. Upon deeper reflection, I think what the message is, we all know that there is a certain lifespan that we are destined to live. And Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have lived, even though some Mefarshim tell us that Moshe could have lived perhaps till 150, and he would have had those 30 years in Eretz Yisrael. But I think on a more rational level, that Moshe Rabbeinu was destined to live 120 years, and he lived 120 years. The difference being something very interesting. Had they gone into Eretz Yisrael in year number two, Moshe would have been able to live the full life, but in the land of Eretz Yisrael. And what Moshe is trying to tell Bnei Yisrael, I see the future, and I see that there will be Churban, and as we go through the whole Sefer Devarim, as we mourn today for the Churban Bayis Rishon, the Churban Bayis Sheni, and the other Bate Mikdashos, Shiloh, Nov, and Givon, and all the other things of all the other places that they had a temporary makeshift Beis HaMikdash before the final destruction of the second, as we await for the third. We hope that it'll come in a short time. But Moshe Rabbeinu was thinking, I could have lived, not that the sin caused me, the sin itself caused me not to go in. But because you didn't go in, and now we've had you not sin, we would have gone into Eretz Yisrael immediately, and hitting the rock never would have had to occur. And therefore, we would have been, the last 38 years, we would have been living in Eretz Yisrael, and I could have finished out my life. Total frustration. And God understands this about Moshe. So he says to Moshe, I'm giving you the opportunity to tell Klal Yisrael what's on your mind. If you have a bone to pick with me, so to speak, now is your chance to get it off your chest. And Moshe begins to tell them. And he speaks to them and he tells them, these are my words. And we see that very interestingly enough, the pasuk that we say every time we go psicha, we say a very interesting pasuk. We say, Vizos HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe Lefnei Bnei Yisrael. Of course, we end the pasuk in shul with Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe, but the Torah doesn't express it in that manner. The entire pasuk, as it's written in the Chumash, and this is through Moshe saying, Vizos HaTorah, up to this point in the parasha from Sefer Devarim, and up to this point in Sefer Voschanon, is all the things that I needed to get off my chest, and I'm telling you from my own heart what I need you to understand and do. And he's saying, Vizos HaTorah, Asher Sam Moshe Lefnei Bnei Yisrael. And at this point in time, Moshe begins to say, now I'm going to tell you, at this point in time, no longer is it my words, but but it is the words of Hashem. And the same way that I was being punished, imagine the lesson that Klal Yisrael and Moshe are trying to impart to Klal Yisrael. Imagine if I, Moshe Rabbeinu, I did in your eyes something so minor that I hit the rock, or I gave you uncalled for advice by the Meraglim, and these were my faults, but I didn't do anything physically. I didn't challenge the word of God, and I still don't get the only thing that I prayed for the most in my life. Imagine, and this is me, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Av HaNaviim, what will happen to you if you cross Hashem? So therefore, I need to repeat to you the Aseres HaDibros and keep them in mind. And after he finishes the Aseres HaDibros, comes the next, our mantra, our line that we carry for the rest of our lives, and tells Klal Yisrael to keep that in mind and saying it every morning and evening, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That is your saving grace. If you will keep that in mind, Shema Yisrael, listen, my brethren, listen, my people. God, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. If you will obey the 613 commandments, if you will respect one another, you will bring about the final redemption. You will live in peace, because what Moshe is telling Klal Yisrael of Eschanan al Hashem is something very interesting, that though while it's forecast our lives, and Moshe is saying, I was destined to live 120 and I did, the difference being, what is the quality of life for the years that we live? God could change while he may give you the 80, the 90, the 100, the 120 years that were forecast for you. But what will be the quality of those final 20 or 30 years? If you follow in God's footsteps, that you know Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and you put all your faith in him and observe the mitzvos, then your quality of life will be that much greater. I had the opportunity. I lived my full life, but I had to spend the last 38 years of it, or the last 40 years in the Midbar. I could have been living in peace and tranquility with you in the land of Israel, and that opportunity was taken away from me, all because of seemingly minor sins. We see today in the land of Israel the respect and the concern each Jew for his fellow man. It is incredible. The last couple of times from the time the war broke out that I've been in Eretz Yisrael, it is really palpable, the closeness of the people, regardless of their differences in religiosity or how they feel about what's going on. But each Jew's life becomes sacred, and they understand that. And they treat everybody, each person, it treats the other person with respect. And may that respect translate into God finding favor with all of us and bringing the end of these trials and tribulations that we're going through. May this be the last Tisha B'Av in the land. Thank you, and have a good Shabbos. Nachamu, nachamu ami. Thank you.
Shkoyach, thank you.
Welcome.
Shkoyach.
Baruch Hu.